are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
All right, here we go. Once again, Serious Growthers. Big Joe Breen is on today. How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good.
Hey, Joe, I got to tell you something. You know, every once in a while, I like to watch, I pull up Netflix, and I like to go watch some of the old-time bodybuilders. Not even old-time, but I just watched The King, Ronnie Coleman, that video that he did with Netflix. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I know the video, yeah.
You got to see that. I mean, so obviously he's the feature on that. But you have Jay Cutler's on there, Sean Ray. Who's the other guy that had his leg just amputated? Flex Wheeler.
I met Flex.
Yeah, Flex Wheeler. And I got to tell you something, man. It's inspiring for me to watch stuff like that because of the mindset of the different people, including Ronnie Coleman, but the different people that came on. You know, Ronnie Coleman is in pretty bad shape as far as him being able to walk. I don't know. He had a bunch of surgeries just recently, and I don't know how well he's doing from that. The last I heard, in fact, they actually talked about that on the Netflix special, was that he thought he was doing better, but it was like a huge, huge recovery before he really knew. But what's telling for me about Ronnie Coleman is we talked about serious growth mindset, you know, and the creed that we follow. Ronnie Coleman is an epitome of having perfect willingness, and take a look at what's happened to him. That can be a good thing, and that could be not such a good thing. And it's interesting how Ronnie Coleman, he doesn't seem to have any regrets of what ended up happening to him on his body. And yet it was interesting to listen, like Sean Ray, that was not anywhere near where he wanted to go. He would not trade off being able to walk and, you know, the way he didn't get impacted by his own training like that. He would not want to do that, not even in the least. But yet Ronnie Coleman, he has no regrets. I just find that really interesting to hear. And I think most people, at least on that Netflix special, they didn't have that. I mean, Ronnie Coleman just figured, look, this is what it was going to take for me to get what I wanted to get. And that was fine with him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I talked to Tom Platz years ago, and he said, you know, maybe at some points that he may have taken the intensity to places where it wasn't productive. Maybe it was a little too far. Maybe he went there, but, you know, if he had it to do over again, he would have done it the same. And, you know, it's like, it's, you know, that's what you do. And, you know, I mean, it's like you did a podcast with Joyce a few weeks ago. And, you know, in our world, Leo, there's no second guessing. We don't have that debate on whether we're going to get up in the morning or not and do it. It's just sometimes, you know, it's a matter of what's on, you know, a few minutes later, a few minutes earlier. But, you know, we're going to do it. It's just it's internal. It's inbred in us. And that's what we do. You know, it's that warrior mindset. So,
yeah, just really, I mean, I've watched it now, you know, more than one time. And yeah, you don't really know. It's like I've also mentioned in some of my podcasts I've done is that the mark of a good program is that it stands the test of time. But yeah. I think maybe that's just not 100% accurate. You know, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't, because, you know, the guy like Ronnie Coleman, for example, it was more about stating the goal that he wanted, and that was more important than whether or not it stood the test of time. I mean, there's something to be said for that. And yet I'm thinking, when I look at him, I'm thinking, damn, I don't know if that would have been worth it to me, but I got a feeling it would have. And I just would have bet on myself that I was going to come back from those, you know, those surgeries that he had, you know. It's because I've told people sometimes, like what happened with me with my three strokes that happened. Yeah. They always ask, well, was it because of the training and the stuff that you were doing at the time? I said, well, I don't really know. I mean, in it by itself, was it the steroid use? I don't think so. It could have played a role, as much of a role as it doing everything to extreme levels. I don't know. But you know something? I don't have regrets. I mean, I had these damn strokes, and if it was in part because of that, I still don't have regrets. I mean, I wish none of this on somebody. But Joe, when you're going into something like this that requires all out effort and 100% commitment, you can't really predict. I mean, you can try to minimize some of the things that are going to happen to you, but you can't really predict how that all really plays out. So it's kind of like it's kind of a guessing game in a way.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and in the end, it's actually, you know, it's part of the funny part is that you actually rehab yourself using going against the grain, you know, with high fat diets and things of that nature. And it actually makes a more, you know, powerful testimonial, as you said, you know, it made you a better trainer. You know, it brought, you know, the mind muscle connection. And what actually what probably saved you was the bodybuilding itself, the training, the knowing how the body becomes its function. Yeah. Everything that's taught in the Big Beyond Belief and the Serious Growth Manuals is, you know, 21 days to form a habit to get, you know, the body moving again, body through space. All those principles played a role in the recovery. And, you know, we all know that there's an inherent risk in this, even if you're doing it, whether you're doing it natural or enhanced, there's no, anytime, you know, I think Stan Efferding said it on your show that, you know, if you want to be healthy, don't compete in sports, period.
Yeah, right.
And that's true. You know, any sport, you know, people talk about bodybuilding, but look, in football, baseball, well, you know yourself because you played, you know, almost in the NFL and had, you know, injuries and risks and things of that. Your son played in Major League Baseball. There were risks and, you know, injuries and those things. But, you know, this is what we do. The question is, can you live with yourself not trying and not going for it? You know, we're built in, it's in our DNA. We're a different breed of people. It's, you know, could you be that guy that doesn't take a risk? And then you look back 50 years later and wonder, what if I could have or should have, right, or, you know.
Yeah. And I had one of those situations where I didn't, you know, well, it was in football because I got injured, but it was a serious injury, very serious. But to be honest with you, it didn't have really anything to do with me going ahead and going forward once I recovered. And I, for whatever reason, I made the decision to not go on and do that. That haunted me. And I can speak to what you're saying. It was like, after that point, and as a few years go by, all I did was second guess myself. And I kept saying, I wonder if, or is some horseshit words, because it haunts you. That doesn't mean that just because you would have come back and tried it, doesn't mean that you would have made it, but you never gave yourself a chance to go there. And there's something to be said for that as well. So, you know, I guess you just have to make your own best decision and then go for it or not. That's a complete decision that one has to make personally. So I'm good with that, you know, but just, it's just interesting watching something like that in the King, just to watch him and the stuff that he went through and to see where he's at today.
Yeah. He, you know, and that's the thing, you know, it's, I think at any level, like you said, at any level of, you know, the bodybuilding, you know, at whether you're natural or enhanced or whatever, you're going to risk, you know, owies, injuries. I mean, I've had those in the last, you know, few months, whatnot, but you know, like you said, with the test of a good program, there's certain factors and certain ways that you can minimize. And I can say, honestly, with the Serious Growth program and training that, you know, with these products, it's a lot less that I would say with these training programs than, let's say, heavy duty, which is going to cause some controversy. Dorian Yates, Mike Mentzer, those guys. It was interesting. I was watching a video with Dorian Yates and Dorian was actually training, you know, contest prepping this girl and guy, and he actually was doing a bent over row, and he can't do the movement the way that he used to because his biceps won't function anymore. Right. And he's like, it's not really, you know, he goes, it's not that, he goes, there is an inherent danger here. It's, this is actually how I tore my bicep. And then he's like, but you should do it. You know, then going to failure, it's kind of an interesting thing versus like last summer with Robbie Robinson, 76 years young, just turned 76 years of age in May. And he posted a video the other day I sent you. He's leg pressing 10 plates at 76 years old. That's the longevity. That's standing the test of time. It's like you with, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, you're still, you know, these programs, and we see it in the Silverback group to a lesser extent with, you know, which is a lot of the, you know, the big Beyond Belief guys from the 90s are back at it with Silverback because those principles still work 27 years later. It's still a program that guys can do. And I can speak to this myself. Last year, I went back on the program again, you know, at 44 last year, just to see, you know, because people were like, well, it's great if you do it in your teens and, you know, but it won't work in your 40s. Well, I proved that it does, in fact, the same principles, the same program, 6 days a week in the gym, you know, the 2-a-day program, and it still produces results. Now, you know, you may have to improvise, may have to certain times slow down the tempo or the reps or lighter weight, or those things are paying more attention to form than in the younger days. But, you know, it's an interesting process. And, you know, you did had an interesting post last week about how most people in the gym, and I learned this myself, this was after competing at a national level show, a lot of guys, they, you know, weightlifting and weight training. And a lot of guys, you know, myself for the first 10 years, I was moving weight from point A to point B, doing a lot of, you know, impressive strength stuff. But then you learn about weight training and the nuances and the mind-muscle connection and how, you know, if you really, when you really get into that mind-muscle, it doesn't matter what you're, you know, whether you're, you know, you can make 135 pounds seem like 500 pounds if you know how to maximize and, you know, the rep speed and the rep cadence and the different techniques. So it's, you know, so you've actually created, you know, programs that stand the test of time. And I see in these chat rooms and the boards guys today who are still, you know, getting serious growth with the original program. So,
you know, the thing is sometimes we just have to be shown, you know, they call that social proof. That's one of the things kind of big about the social platforms are people respond to when other people are doing it. And Robbie Robinson is that guy for me. I mean, when I saw Robbie on social media, as unbelievable as he looked on social media, he looked even better at the seminar that he came.
Oh, he was amazing. He's amazing. And, you know, it was like a Mr. Miyagi. It was like, you know, a spiritual moment just seeing him, the way that he had that mind muscle connection. And it didn't matter whether he was doing 95, he was connected, his mind and his, you know, it's like, it's going to a different place. It's, you know, and it's something when you see a real pro like him train, and that experience in that seminar, I mean, was just, you know, mind-blowing.
And he basically, he created a situation that made me change the way that I thought about things. You know, not only did I see somebody who did it, but he created a different pathway for me. And the goal for me was just to basically every day reinvent myself. And every day, what I want to focus on is being a better version of myself in this age at the moment. And then just keep doing that on a daily basis. We talk about creating daily habits that turn into lifestyle rituals. I mean, that's what Robbie really, really, you know, sometimes you just don't know what's going to change something in your brain. Because at the end of the day, Joe, it comes down to the attitude that you have. If, you know, and we get so, sometimes we get so hell bent on certain ways that we have been, you know, the way we think about certain things, that we get caught up to where we can't make a change. And it's all about attitude. Robbie actually helped me with that. And I didn't know that was going to happen, because I'm thinking like you, you know, we have a very strong mindset and that's important, but that strong mindset could possibly work against you if you're so locked in that you're not able to think outside that tunnel that we're all in at times, because it does take that type of thinking in order to get the results that you're looking for. You know, it's just really interesting. And Robbie really helped me with that. and it changed the way that I look. And I'm amazed about that. And that gives me a lot of hope that we just can continue on. And I think that these Silverbackers that are coming on, I think they really need to see that that's really possible, because I don't know if that age group really does understand that. I think they want to, but I don't know if they really understand that you can make something happen at older ages. I know you are, and I want to talk about what's going on with you. But anyway, I just think it's really fascinating what can be done if you get your mind right.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was, and Robbie, you know, I mean, really, what was interesting telling about that seminar is I started competing at 19, I just turned 19. And 19, it was like the guys who were in their 40s, 50s, that was like ancient, you know, the Masters division, they put them on early in the morning, the old guys, yeah. Like no one wanted to sit with them. You know, it was a different thinking in the 90s. And now I'll tell you, at the Silverback seminar, I was kind of in the middle of the road, because you had the people in their 20s, you had the people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I was like, it was like you, Muzilla, that guy, Jack, Emmerich, Robbie, you know, Antini, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit with the older people. Screw the young guy. You know, they're looking like they're over by, you know, the taco, whatever, you know, eating. And it's like, you know, you have Robbie and Emmerich and those guys. It was just like, it's like, okay, I'm going to hang out with the Silverbackers. And the Silverbackers, that's something that I think, you know, if they had the opportunity to be there and to see Robbie in person, it's one thing for us to explain it, but, you know, if you weren't there to behold and to see that event personally, it's a totally different thing in person. And, you know, Emmerich, yeah.
It doesn't really do it justice.
Jack is still that one guy, Fresno, he's still competing at what, 71, 72?
Yeah. I mean,
doing it. So, you know, it's like, you know, like these guys really know how to train. And today's guys, you know, they want the shiny object syndrome. You know, you've got the fake trainers. And I would go further to say the fake trainees. I mean, you know, you see these trends in the gym this morning. Like the last few weeks, I've seen this girl doing the oblique twists, you know, back and forth, a total waste of with the weighted oblique twists, you know, doing tons and tons of volume for the abs. And it's like, you know, people don't realize that, you know, the mistakes that you see in the gym today, and just and the lack of intention. Not only was she not doing something that, you know, physiologically not a sound movement, but not even doing it right. You're not even activating the obliques because she's doing, you know, a one-third reaction. And you've kind of covered that a little bit, that you can't spot reduce the abs and things right. of that nature. But, you know, there's so many misconceptions out there. And it's the shiny, as you say, the shiny object syndrome that we have in the fitness business today that's changed for the worse. And, you know, people want that quick fix. That's why you have, you know, CrossFit, Arch Theory, I call it Arch Query Fitness, Planet Fitness, those places, because they give them these quick fix things, you know, the Zumba stuff. And it's great to, you know, shock the body and understand where they're coming from, because people get bored and, you know, it's the boredom thing, but it's not really... The problem is that you have to stick with something for 21, and you have to do it. And whether you like it or not, you know, there's those core movements, and that's, you know, it's like comes down to any sport. There's fundamental movements that are always going to work, and you have to keep doing it. And you have to have that discipline that, you know, okay, I may not like doing squats all the time, but squats, you know, look, squats, leg press, you know, bench presses, deadlift, those are the core movements, and it works, and it's going to continue to work. And whether you know, whatever new piece of equipment they come out with, it's, you know, the old moves and stand the test of time.
Well, the thing about it is the shiny object syndrome is sexy for a lot of people compared to the reality of, this is kind of what you're talking about, is that there is a process that you really have to go through. And most people just don't want to do that. And from a marketing standpoint, I understand it, because like the way that I approach stuff is like, you have to understand that you might not like the way you look or feel for a while, because you're going to be uncomfortable before you are at the place where you finally get what you want. That being said, I know that you're a few, what are you, 8 weeks away from, are you doing it?
Yeah. So looking at the Natural Universe and a few other shows later in the year at the PNDB, Denny Keiko's organization in Ironman. And, you know, I just you said, doing stuff that, you know, is unconventional, it's not, you know, always comfortable, things that, you know, But it's a process, and you know, it's not always a fun process. In fact, some days you damn well dread it. You know, hate going. It's a love hate relationship. I love how I feel after the workout, but I dread it, and it scares the shit out of me. But that's a good thing. You know, it's good to be, I think, scared of your training, but at the same time, you know, loving the results afterwards. It's kind of a love hate relationship, like a lot of my other relationships in life. You know, except it usually ended up in hate afterwards. But you know, that's another story. We're not doing the serious relationship podcast. This is a serious growth podcast. We're saving that for the fishbowl. Yeah. But you know,
how old are you right now?
I'm 45. I'm going to be 46 in September.
Okay, so
I'm the same age now that you were when we met many years back.
Oh my goodness! See, that's the kind of shit that you know about me. I don't even know. Let me ask you this: did you get some kind of wild hair up your ass to get back on stage? What was it that got you going now?
A lot of it is it's I never really, like you, never really felt like I reached my maximum potential. I never really you know, I felt like there was, like Rocky Balboa said, there was still stuff in the basement.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've been discussing, and you know, I wanted to bring, you know, a lot of the serious growth training philosophies, and I think one of the avenues to do that, and like you said earlier in the podcast, is to show people that this stuff still works, and it's to prove serious growth is the best training system out there. You have to, you know, actually show people, you know, the natural thing. And, you know, I got tired of posting older photos of myself at 19 and stuff. And I'll tell you something, Leo, it's truly really amazing. And you've said this many times, the muscle has memory. Yeah. And it's amazing what I would have never thought at 19, number one, that I would still be doing this, still training to want to compete, you know, bodybuilding and improving at this. I think literally at 45, I'm going to look better than I did at 19, which is scary. It goes against what we've been taught in society. Yeah. But yet, you know, it's just following simple things. It's counting the calories daily. It's unglamorous, unsexy stuff. But you know, it's but doing this day in and day out, and you know, it just
yeah. This leads me to my kind of what I wanted to talk about. It's the theme was, I was going to talk about today, it was called the counterintuitive side of exercise and nutrition. And you're kind of talking about that, you know, and that's the side that's really hard for most people to really trust. And, yeah, you know, because they don't have enough firsthand experience in order to be able to determine, you know, if it's the right thing to do. But here's something that I want to talk about. And I said, I'm asking myself this question: is your organ tricking you? Now, what I mean that is, the organ I'm referring to is your brain. Your brain is an organ that acts like a muscle that tricks most people. And I'll tell you where it tricks them in the very worst way. And what it does is it actually leads to more shiny object syndrome. Your brain adapts to a regimen sooner than your physiology. If you're that person who really doesn't have enough firsthand experience, you get tricked by that. And people change based on what their mind, because it all starts in your mind. That's command center. So think about that. When your brain, which is an organ, not a muscle, is acting like a muscle, you can start to begin to see how people make that mistake, because they think, okay, it's time for me to switch my program. And the truth of the matter is because your physiology takes a little bit longer before it completely adapts to the regimen, you miss out on the sweet spot of making the true results. Have you noticed that situation? Because I think this is what happens a lot of time with CrossFitters. They're constantly changing and they never give their body a chance to fully adapt and fully get the results of what they're doing. I'm not bagging them, but it's just the way physiology works.
No, I am bagging them. I definitely, as a matter of fact, it's very true. It's something, you know, and it's funny you talk about CrossFitters. The other day when I finished up my workout, me and another guy were talking about that, the gym where I train at now, they're bringing in a CrossFit program. And, you know, we're talking about CrossFit and, you know, why are they investing in this stuff? And he said, you know, he goes, it's funny, you know, CrossFit, it's just lifting weights with bad form. It's just basically that's the whole fad. But it's you know, it's actually CrossFit, though, the origins were in bodybuilding, because I trained in what, 05, 06 with a national level guy. And, you know, it's funny because in Big Beyond Belief, you guys talk about instinctive training, but people don't really understand, you know, instinctive training. Yes, it exists. And yes, you do learn that intuitive side. Tom Platz is a perfect example. He knew exactly. But there's, you have to be in the game for several years and really develop that intuition. Because I've talked to like several pros and top level amateurs. And I'll tell you something, Leo, it's funny because they, you know, they're, idea of instinctive training is based on emotion, and that's what CrossFit is, and that's this Orange Query Fitness and Planet Shitness and all the Zumba, all these little things. It's based on I don't like it or I don't feel like doing this today, so I'm not going to. And I'll tell you something, look, there's a lot of days, you know, if I was operating just on emotion, I mean, shit, I would, you know, I probably would have missed 10 years worth of workouts if I was just waiting for the perfect time when I felt like it and I was happy and everything was, circumstances were perfect. Well, we'd still be, you know, we'd still be here waiting. I mean, if you guys waited for the perfect till everything was perfect, you'd still be waiting to publish Bulgarian Power Burst. It's, you know, it's, you got to kind of go. And the thing is that I found that a lot of times, you know, going against the grain, it's the days that you don't want to do it. It's the days that your mind is tricking you into thinking, you know, I should stay in, but you go into the gym and you have the greatest workout and you make a breakthrough. And then there are days when you think, you know, everything's, you know, you've eaten the right amount of food, your nutrients are, timing is perfect. It's the perfect storm. And you go in there and bomb, you couldn't, you know, so there's no, so this idea of, you know, so your mind does, you know, play tricks on you, and it's quite amazing. And I found, you know, really at that 21 day point in these last, you know, few months of, you know, training, it's like you guys taught in the 90s, every 21 days, that's when you really, you have to, you know, that's when you really, and it comes down to documentation, like you've taught, it comes down to, you know, giving your body a chance to adapt to that program. I remember talking to this guy as a national level guy, and I said, well, how do you, you know, you don't, he ragged me because he's like, you write stuff down. And I'm like, yeah, I write down every exercise, every rep, every poundage, you know, everything. He's like, he goes, I said, how do you keep track of it? Oh, you know, just how I feel. And I look at the mirror and stuff like that. I'm like, well, how do you know what exercises really work and what doesn't if you don't document and, you know, this whole process? But, you know, people, I think that's the thing with training is, you know, you have to look at it kind of as, you know, as you would in a job, but, you know, to a certain extent, like there are certain things you would do, a process that you would do if you're building a building, and there's a process to building a body. It's, you know, the same. Constructing a body is, you know, similar to constructing a building or any other piece of, you know, land. There's a process that goes into it.
Well, and that guy that you're talking about, you know, basing it on how he feels. Look, you know, you don't just want to base anything on just one thing. Look, you wouldn't want to base it as well just on data. In other words, it's very important that you document everything that you're doing, like what you're saying. But what you want to do is you want to take all those factors in and then make a, you know, your best judgment call on that and say, okay, based on all this data, not just necessarily some limited, maybe two or three things, but you take it all into consideration, then over time that's how you create mastery. And that's why guys like the Tom Platzes of the world, they've been around it so long that they've done all that. They've documented everything to the nth degree. And then along the way, they started listening to what their body was saying and talking to them on the inside. So I think what you're saying is really important, but it's, I think all those factors need to be taken into consideration, which again, all that does, it keeps adding to the process and more time invested before you're able to do that. It's definitely, you know, we've heard it before. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And that's a good example of that. You know, I've said it before that, you know, and this is again counterintuitive, and this is what we're talking about. I've talked about so many times that plateaus are a necessary evil, because you have to be willing to go into the plateau. 21 days is the beginning of a plateau, from what I've learned. I'll give you my own experiences, but I've also known from experiences that I can stay in that plateau till about 6 weeks. So I enter the plateau in 3 weeks, and about the 6 week mark, and I did this over and over again just to double check that's where I found where the sweet spot was, inside of to 6 weeks. That's where I had to now really show the discipline and believe in what I was doing to just stay there and just pound the shit out of my body and then transition out and go and move on. It's not rocket science, but there's a very specific way that you need to do this as it relates to the sport of bodybuilding.
Yeah, and that's kind of the 6 week mark. That's what you guys basically had in the Big Beyond Belief and in Titan, where you know you would go through the 3 week hyper acceleration and hyper adaptation, you know, with slight changes, not drastic but slight, and then you know changing the reps a little bit, and you know, but that's the thing, and as a matter of fact, with the Titan program, that's when you know you really started to see the results is weeks 4, 5, 6, you know, that's when everything started to click. The first few, you're wondering, can I even finish this thing? Can I do it? You know, is it going to be, but you have to trust the process and you have to kind of, you know, just trust and you kind of, it's a little bit like blind faith a little bit. And, you know, but I think part of the challenge and part of the, you know, conundrum, so to speak, in bodybuilding is that you get a lot of these, there's a lot of bad advice in bodybuilding and a lot of guys who were, you know, and I'm guilty of this earlier in my career, you know, listening to, you know, you talk about this at the end, the last, how you kind of get to a certain point and then you're like, maybe if I tweak this a little bit or I do this a little bit or I, you know, if I just make a few changes here or there, then, you know, it's going to get better. And that actually doesn't, it actually gets worse. But, you know, sometimes there's too many cooks in the kitchen. And so then, you know, you just, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, you put yourself in someone's hands and you have to have faith in them. But the key is it's like working with a great director in movies. You want to work with someone who's accomplished, who's done it, who you know, is believes in it. And then you just from there, you know, put yourself in their hands totally and follow their direction.
That's all part of the process. And then, well, you know, what I've learned over there, because I did the same thing early on, and where I found out there, where the best information really came from was me doing it myself and paying attention to that. And then I could go into a situation when I was competing and trying something different, I would say, okay, it's kind of like when the Bulgarian said, you know, it is application before theory, not the other way around, but you have to go through all that to learn that, you know. So what you did wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It was just part of your learning curve to finally get to a point where now you're in charge of what you're doing because you failed enough. And that, so it's always a good thing if you just stick with it. Another thing that I talked about over the years is I talk about, which is counterintuitive, I talk about doing more cardio gets you in worse shape. Now, the other thing that I'm going to mention here is I'm going to say that weightlifting produces worse results. What do I mean by that? We talked about this at the top of the show. The difference between weightlifting and weight training is huge. It's a huge difference. Okay. We know that, and I know that most people that are weightlifting, they're wasting about 60% of their effort. And again, it's not something that you can just tell somebody, look, connect the mind to the muscle. You say that to somebody, but then it takes repetitions and them actually lifting weights to understand all of a sudden when they connect and then they actually feel it firsthand. Oh, this is what training is. And what you start learning about that, and again, you mentioned it before, it's not necessarily the form and technique that you use. Look, as a personal trainer who's guiding people all the time, I always operate from that position where you have to pay attention. Form and technique is hugely important. There's no question about that. As a personal trainer, I would be derelict not to address that with somebody that I'm working with, especially that's new. But yeah, what it really comes down to at the end of the day, it's more about feeling everything that you train. Any movement that you're doing is feeling that moment. Because here's what we know. In Costa and Platt's workout, I've gotten criticized because I'd say people say, well, like the form and technique is shitty. It's loose style training. They're not using good form and technique. But what they don't understand is that we are feeling everything that you train. In some cases, feeling what you train is more important than form and technique. But here's what you also find out if you're in it long enough. When you're feeling the muscle that you're trying to train, your form and technique is proper. It's just unorthodox. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You know, and it's funny because, and I guess this is where intuitiveness comes in. Years before I actually saw that video and I first started training, it was just something I felt like I should do faster reps on certain movements, you know, leg curls, what have you. And I would actually do that. And then I saw you and Tom actually do that on camera. And then I worked with Tom. And what's interestingly is enough is I think, you know, a lot of people who are the form or technique, you know, Nazi police, so to speak, I think that there's an agenda, because if you look at like Nautilus machines, for instance, in the Nautilus group, those machines actually break if you do, like, let's say leg curls. I know this because I broke a leg curl machine at the gym there. I hope you're not watching this podcast, Rebecca. But, you know, I actually doing, you know, fast, but I was feeling it doing the fast, you know, boom, 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 piston reps, and the thing snapped. So I understand where a lot of people are with the super slow and the form and technique, it's because these machines, if you train on them, you know, there's certain movements, they're not built to withstand fast, you know, speed, but muscles actually operate from, you know, from fast explosiveness. And, you know, it's about feeling it. I was in an argument years ago with a guy on LinkedIn as a strength coach, and he's telling me that, you know, fast reps, you know, it's like, oh, that's great for you bodybuilder guys, but that doesn't work for football players or baseball players. I said, well, wait a minute, the training system that I actually use has been used by football players and baseball players. And I said, let me ask you this. Now, the natural movement of a football player or a baseball player, did they go 10 seconds up, 10 seconds down? No, they go fast, explosive. So you want to tailor your movements to mimic what they would be doing on the field or what they would be doing in their natural habitat as athletes. And, you know, the thing is with speed, there's a lot of times where, you know, like, you know, I might be doing a lat pull down or something and I don't, you know, I go according to, it might be a half rep at the end, squeeze out a few. That's, you know, that's a different thing. You know, it's just based on, you know, but I'm feeling the muscle, I'm feeling everything, and the results are what speaks for itself. And, you know, years ago, there was someone, I was doing the Platt style hack squat, and someone came, they're like, that's not how you do hack squats. And I pointed to the back of my shirt, it was Achieve Excellence, it was a t-shirt I got from Tom Platts. And I said, well, this is the guy who taught me how to, who said I should be doing like hack squats like this. Go argue with him, look at his leg development and look at yours. Yeah. And let's see who's right and who's wrong. You know, in terms of that, you know, I was doing a non-conventional, a lot of non-conventional techniques. I lived out in LA for a while. I moved back to Florida and then moved to Vegas. But at the time I had just come back to Florida and I was using a lot of the techniques I learned in LA, and people at the gym were like, that, you know, this is not, I'm like, well, no, it's actually, these are the techniques you learn when you're in the trenches training with people who have, you know, 30 or 40 years of experience. You know, it's not the textbook form.
It's a whole different level. And the point is, you know, feeling what you train, like I said, is the most important thing. And most of the time when you're feeling what you train, you're not having poor form. What you're doing as an athlete, and again, this relates to whether or not you're training for as a bodybuilder or as a strength athlete or an explosive athlete.
Yeah.
All you're doing when you get to that level is you're looking for every single way to exhaust that particular body part. And that takes, again, the common theme among all the stuff that we're talking about, that does take time. I was talking, and we'll circle back now to kind of wrap this thing up. But I was talking to a client that I just took under my wing, and he's now training. And sometimes I take somebody on, as long as there's only three people, and I bring him on. And I was telling
him, this guy personally, yourself?
Yeah, he's in the group now. Because the way I do it is I tell people, if you want to come in, if there's room, you want to come in and train while I'm training. My training has to be forefront. I'm up
501. Hey, I'm not 4:59, not 5 o'clock, 5:01 a.m.
And so it's, and I said, but if you want to fit into that and if it works, and it just, I actually have to qualify him and say, look, you're a good candidate for what I'm doing. And because I've watched the guy as a client in my gym. So for those trainers that are out there, for the people that are out there, it's always important to take the very conservative step first and make sure that your form and technique are correct. That's part of building the foundation. But like what I told this guy, now he's coming into an area with me that's everything is going to be a lot more advanced. And I, you know, just having that conversation with him today, which you've been talking about, I said, look, here's the most important thing. The most important thing is that you feel what you train and you do it with intention. And yeah, and as far as rep ranges are concerned, rep speed, I should say tempo. Look, sometimes your tempo is faster, sometimes it's slower, and that can be from set to set that you do. There's no set rules to do this when you get out of that area where you've now got form and technique. It, that's right. And he does have good form and technique. When I'm training you, when I'm training myself, all I'm thinking about is what I told him. I want to feel every movement. And what do I have to do to get that muscle to exhaust? Because your physiology doesn't understand how many reps you're doing, but it responds to fatigue and recovery. So how do I do that each and every time? I manipulate tempo. I manipulate the rep ranges that I'm doing. Even if I have to do the difference between a superset, which is going from, for example, tricep pushdown to tricep kickback and then circle back. That's a circuit. Sometimes I'll do what's called reverse order, where I'll have you, after you do that tricep kickback, stay there and go back the other way. All I'm trying to do is I'm watching your muscle fatigue. As a trainer working with you and as somebody who works on my own physique, I'm always looking at that because tempo is hugely important, especially as it relates to bodybuilding and creating muscle endurance. Because when you can train at a higher level of tempo, you start teaching that muscle how to recover much quicker. It's a double plus when you do that. And that's where I'm at right now with a lot of my people. But again, I think the point that we're trying to make is look for every angle and every single way that you can possibly exhaust that muscle and still leave a little bit in the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, these techniques, it's, you have to go through, like you said, take the baby steps, learn that. And I think there's a difference. It's a certain type of person that we're really talking about. This type of training is not for everyone. I mean, there are, your personal training clients. And, when I take on a client, I have my clients, I teach them conventional form, make sure their technique is really good. Maybe no more than 3 workouts, keep it very, very, very conservative with them. But then you find that certain person, okay, that they're hardwired and they have it and they're ready to go to that next level. And I'll never forget even some of the training techniques with you, that when I first met you years and years ago at your other, this was back at OTT, your other gym over in Visalia on Lover's Lane. We did a leg workout and I'll never forget the day afterwards, I couldn't move off the toilet. I was like stuck there. I was literally bottomed out. And had to sit there and like pull myself up for like took 10 minutes to get up to stand up upright because my hamstrings, glutes, quads, it was a lot of stuff that was unconventional because I couldn't do full reps anymore. Then we were doing quarter reps and squats and then partial reps and then just barely where I'm barely contracting the leg, but every fiber of my leg was like just totally maxed out to the end at the end. And I'm like, holy shit. I thought I trained hard before I met you. And I'm like, okay, this is really what it's like. And then when I came 5 years ago for the Stroke Warrior Foundation and we did the calf raises. Now this isn't in any of your books because it's like people wouldn't know that, but the quarter, the one doing a full rep and then a quarter rep and then a full rep again, and then a half rep, like the 1.5s on seated calf raises. And then, by the time you do a set of that of 2, every fiber of your calf is like exhausted, but it's not something that you'll see in a conventional workout thing. Most bodybuilders don't know this. I mean, I remember I went back to Las Vegas after that, and I see this national level guy give look at, like, what the hell is this guy doing? Because, you know, they had no clue, you know, what this is. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, this is, you know, this is a technique. It's been Sharonda, Tom, you know, it's very advanced technique. But even, you know, some of the stuff that you teach, even top level bodybuilders don't really get. I mean, you know, but like you've said on many other podcasts, is some of these places, there's more intensity in a hospice place or in a morgue than in gyms nowadays. I mean, people are more intent about, you know, moving from song to song than they are from circuit to circuit on their iPad.
Good point. Hey, listen, we're going to wrap this thing up. I appreciate you coming on. I know you have this thing coming up in, I guess, 6 or 8 weeks. Based on the photos that I've seen of you, you're ready. I think at this point now, it's just now putting a bit in your mouth, you know, because you have that tendency we all do of this mindset.
Yeah.
We want to do more. And sometimes, like, what was his name? Churchill. He said, sometimes the best thing to do is nothing at all. And in some ways you're at that point right now where you just hold tight, put the bit in your mouth. You're ready. And you got to pull the trigger at the right time. So you're getting really close. I'm proud of you for sticking with it. And, you know, hopefully you continue to make this a way of life, Joe.
Well, you know, I will. And I'll tell you something, Leo, I appreciate all your help and Kara's help. And, you know, it's a tough thing. Obviously, I knew when you got into this thing 40 years ago, and this is the unglamorous side of bodybuilding coaching, folks, because no one wants to wake up at 5 a.m. and get photos of a guy in their boxer trunks. We want to see Kara in her shorts, but unfortunately, she's not competing this year. I am. So Leo wakes up at 5 a.m. in the morning to, hey, Leo, how's that? Those are the shots. But, you know, this is the life. It's like Bo Green said in The Godfather, this is the life we've chosen. And these are the things that we, you know, this is the path that we're on. And so, you know, that's the thing. You know, definitely gonna, you know, stick with it. And you know, having, you know, being able to, you know, consult with someone like yourself, you know, it definitely, makes things a lot easier, because, you know, in the past I've, you know, I'm kind of like operating from the standpoint of a Clint Eastwood or Sylvester Stallone or Kevin Costner directing myself in a movie and having to count on myself for all these things, because in the past I dealt with other directors who weren't, you know, quite at that level. And now, you know, I'm working with a Scorsese or a Coppola, and, you know, like yourself. And so I just, you know, you sit back, you and it takes discipline to not want to. Because sometimes I'm like, you know, you always question everything. That's part of the serious growth creed. Yeah. But you kind of, you have a tendency, you want to second guess yourself, but you're like, no. But part of the discipline is I've got to sit back and I'm just going to sit in the cockpit and wait for the next instruction and, you know, just sit tight until that happens. So, and that's what we're doing.
Well, the results, I got this, this quote that's in my gym, and I think you've seen it. Results reflect the struggle, and you've definitely gone through the struggle, Joe. So good luck, and we'll bring you back on the show next time to see how you did.
Well, we all will, and let's go, Brandon, and we'll do the whole thing. So I appreciate it, Leo. You have a great day.
Right on. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.